Ready? And we had a staff emergency, and so Don isn't with us tonight. So we'll Scott and I will muddle through this. I think we'll handle this. So we'll call to order, and then I guess Scott, you would take roll call.
Sure. Roll call, Diane.
I'm here in district remotely.
Greg.
Here.
Joanne.
Here.
Reed.
Here.
Dan. Here.
Okay, next are consent items. So do we have any comments on the three items there after review?
This is for me.
No, I don't. Does anybody?
I'm,
No comment.
I just wanted to request
Yeah.
mining items 4 and 8. That's the renting a speed tracker and the speed bumps on Stanley. We can discuss those at the same time, I think.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Combining items 4 and 8, the speed tracker and the speed
Speed
bump,
bumps are related.
they're related.
Okay.
And in addition to that, we need to announce that related to the staff emergency, we needed to add within the 72-hour window to the agenda item 9, which is discussing the responsibilities of offloading accounting responsibilities from the general manager to a dedicated accountant. So we added that as for our discussion tonight. Just wanted to point that out in front of the meeting. Okay, and so everyone's happy with the consent items. Do I hear a motion to approve them and naming them out line by line?
Yes, I'll do
Okay.
it. I'll make a
Anybody?
motion to approve the consent item. Number one, approval of the agenda for the regular board meeting today. And approval of the January 13th, 2026 regular board meeting minutes. And lastly, the approval of the monthly expenditures from January 2026.
And I'll second
Take a roll call for that.
Diane?
Aye. Aye.
Joanne?
Aye.
Reed?
Aye.
Dan?
Aye.
Okay, we're on to reports. 49er water.
Sweet. It was a very boring month.
That's terrific. I'd be sure.
Right. That would be a very exciting month.
They put the speech on the side.
Right. Yeah, exactly. No, usage is way down. Turbidity's raw coming in. We're fine because there was no storms. Final was good. The main thing that we did this month was we went to the 7-yard dumpster and parked it over at the plant there at the tanks. And Harry and Mike filled it up. So got rid of a bunch of trash. Other than that, just had one service call for a single broken line. And then he had an inline chemical feed pump fail, but we got that repaired. We did get another spare on order because the chemical feed pumps, they're all identical for every chemical. So we order a spare and they can go to any one of them. So we got that on order. And actually this Friday, we have a guy coming out to install an Ethernet line from the one building that has internet up to the alarm system.
Okay.
And once that's installed, then AT&T can come back and install that box. Because that was the problem the first time around was they didn't have internet where the alarm box was. So we'll get that taken care of.
Oh, okay. So I
Yeah.
didn't notify you when, yeah.
Yeah, they went out to install it. We told them internet was there, but apparently where the alarm system is, it's not at. So
Oh.
yeah. So we've got a guy coming out, he's gonna install that and
So wasn't
you can go.
talking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, no communication. So then hopefully the phone bill will go way down and all will be good.
Because in the prior, we're actually using an additional phone for that because it wasn't connected to our other router or internet network.
Yeah, so the phone's kind of like the phone system's like a backup alarm in case the internet goes
Okay.
down. We
Boom.
still have a way to get alarms.
Always.
Yeah. And I think it's a good idea because it's almost never going to be the perfect storm like that, but you always know the perfect storm happens. So it's good to have two ways of getting alarm call outs.
Sure.
So we would still have the phone bill in, or how?
Apparently, I don't know too much about this. Do you know more about this
I
with
think there was
AT&T?
a fault in SCADA where it continually was sending
Oh, okay.
false. And so it was just prank, like pranking the phone bill. And then Don was before, the emergency, he was in contact with phone companies trying to have that relieved because it was,
Okay.
they were making phone calls. It was just the fault system, basically ghost calling sort of.
Polling it all the time. Okay, so that polling won't happen anymore until, unless.
Right. And if it
Yeah.
did happen, I guess apparently now it's like free calling or whatever.
Cool.
Voice over IP. I don't know
Good.
what it
Great.
is.
Yeah.
I'm not very familiar
Yep.
with
Voice
all
over
that
IP.
stuff.
And they're running the line. You said they're running the line up there.
Yep.
Are they running the line through a conduit in the
Yeah,
building?
I think he's going to run through a conduit
Okay.
along the fence line, and then he's
Okay.
going to go over that gate, the
Okay.
walk gate, and then into the building. So, yeah.
How long is the run?
About 200 feet or so.
I guess that might work for
He
Ethernet
said
then.
anything under 300 would be fine
Okay.
per Ethernet. Yeah. So I'm not really an IT guy. But other than that's about it. Yeah, it was kind of just a cleanup month. So got rid of a bunch of crap.
And then we have the valve to play and the PG&E. I think we talked about that already. The compensation PG&E and waterline break. That's still.
For which one? Oh, the compensation. Do you know where that's
Yeah.
at? Or have you talked
Yeah.
to, have you made any progress on that?
For one thing, PG&E is out of it because they have a contract with Mountain Enterprises. So Mountain Enterprises is responsible.
And their trucks are running all around here, I've noticed.
Yeah.
I mean, we had
But
one of them.
they, I did talk to the gentleman at Mountain Enterprise that the attorney for PG&E told me to contact. His name is Jose, and I did talk to him. And they subcontract to Tree Service Kings, TSK. It's easier for me to say. And anyhow, I was told that from Lydia, the attorney for PG&E, that Mountain Enterprises denied the claim. So when I talked to Jose the other day, he said, he brought it up and he said, well, it's supposed to be in review. And I said, because I asked him why he denied it. And he's kind of aloof on this position. Anyhow,
But it was their
bottom line,
subcontractor who denied it, right? Not PG&E themselves. So they can take it up again.
PG&E can't do anything because it's
Oh.
Mountain Enterprises. But the attorney that I talked to, Lydia, said that Mountain Enterprises denied the claim. So that's why she said call Jose
Okay.
at Mountain Enterprises. And
Oh, it's Mountain Enterprises, that lawyer. Okay. Jose.
lawyer was for PG&E.
Okay, who's Jose?
Jose, she said, is the one that she told me to contact at
Okay.
Mountain Enterprises.
Okay.
Anyhow, I'm sorry.
Lots of people.
So I did talk to him, and he said the claim is in review. So I said, would pictures help? Because Jerry sent me a lot of pictures, and he also went back, and I said, what am I looking at? Am I looking at leak one? So he summarized them all. And so I asked Jose if they would like pictures to see the tree trunks that they dropped on our water lines. I make sure I always say that. And I sent them to him. And so
Okay.
I'm waiting to hear back from him. And if I don't hear back next by Monday, I'll give him a call Tuesday. I'm the squeaky wheel.
Great. Seems like it needs it.
Yeah. So at least it's not a definite no.
Well, the other thing is if we need to, we can get more involved.
Yeah, I was to say small claims or something like that. Yeah.
But Margaret can't do anything with small claims.
Oh, so how much is the.
But I told you I made a mistake and I said that small claims was 12,000. It is in Sacramento, but in Placer County, it's still 10,000.
Oh. Huh.
So, with contracts and all that stuff, usually you got to have a bond.
Yeah.
We just pull on the bond.
Yeah.
What
We
bond?
don't need.
Well,
So,
any
with.
times there's service work done, they have to have a bond to cover if there's a.
Oh,
We
okay.
don't somehow we need to find
Because there's got to be a bond, licensed and bonded. Bonded means that, if something goes bad, then that's going to cover it. It's kind of like an insurance,
Sure.
right?
So we need,
So they should, to be a subcontractor or PG&E, I'm sure
Oh yeah.
PG&E makes them do licensed and bonded in their contract.
Oh yeah.
So if there's a bond out there, we just pull on that bond.
With
File a claim on the bond.
Exactly.
enterprise. So I will,
It might need to be on their website.
that will be a good question. I wasn't aware of that. So I will, when Jose calls me back or I talk to him again, I will ask him about that and say, so.
Yeah, you could like
Actually, if you know the name of the subcontractor,
The subcontractor is mounted,
out in F
is
Enterprises.
TSK.
no,
No.
TSK,
Yes.
Tree Service Kings. They're the
And
ones that did the job. They, Mountain Enterprises
it's
subcontracts.
them. Okay.
Yeah.
So
So,
maybe we look them up in their licensing and
yeah,
in
when you
their
look up
bonded.
the State Contractors License
Yeah.
Board, it
Oh.
has the bonding company and the license number and the bonding company
Yeah.
on the state contractor
Website.
website.
And I would not do that route until they say no. That's
Right.
like the backup. So, like, not small claims and all that stuff. That's like the last case because you do that they're going to be ticked.
Yeah. But you know what though?
They,
If they deny us and they don't,
well,
yeah.
yeah, then they
Exactly.
deserve it.
Right. No,
Yeah.
exactly. That's what I'm saying. Don't
Yeah,
do
we'll
so
waive
that.
that
That's the
last
ace in
resort.
our pocket.
Right.
But yeah,
I can
just be
ask
nice.
them, that right? Or to just find out.
You could do it that way, or next time, if he doesn't, if he doesn't email or call you back about it, just call back and say, hey, can I get an update and stuff?
Yeah.
And then in that, just say, hey, can you provide me the bond information? And that way, when you ask that question, they know what the next things are coming.
Yeah.
And that's kind of being nice. Like,
That's
we're not going
the
to say,
polite way of doing it.
that's the polite way of notifying we're going
Yeah.
to
Yeah.
still continue.
Okay. Okay, good. Thank you very much.
Yeah. You're welcome.
And
So.
listed here is check valve replacement update. Do we already talk about that?
I haven't heard anything from Lorraine yet on that
Okay.
one. So, which is kind of surprising because my understanding is they're looking for work right now. So maybe they've got a job right now, and
Okay.
but they'll, I know they do want to do it. So
Okay.
as soon as they have availability. Yeah. So.
Okay, general manager report, PCWA FAP grant, and
Yeah,
edit anything.
that was the FAP grant was submitted. We're just waiting back on them for review.
Cool. Great.
The there are so far there are 5 meter reading applicants, so we have 5 potentials. And then the deadline is the 20th. So after the 20th, then Don's going to review the current applicants and
We have a whole quarter. How much time till the next meter reading session?
February, March, tomorrow.
Okay, so we got some time to make a good hire.
Unit 5 is going down the 17th still, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
Yep.
so tomorrow I'm doing hangars. All
Oh,
of
you're gonna do the hairs?
the
Oh,
what did you
awesome.
what
I
did
thought we were gonna do them after.
you do? You
No,
want
it's for
to
free. However, what are you
do
talking about?
it? The unit, am I correct?
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
We're have a loss of water feed.
Yeah, Jerry's doing a line replacement or something. For what is it, Unit 5? I don't even
It,
know what it is.
upon Westridge, that whole Westridge area past the tanks.
So what's happening?
And what's going on? Why is it we're
It's just
reading?
a line repair.
Just a line repair.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a repair.
Yeah. Do you need door hangers? Because I have them in my car.
No, j oh, if you
I
have,
printed out a bunch of them that
you
Jerry
do those.
sent.
Oh,
Yeah.
you okay? If you have
Yeah.
them printed, yeah, I
Yeah,
should have
we.
printed. Yeah, because I haven't printed them yet.
Okay. Yeah.
So what repair needs to be done?
I'm not sure what he's. It was something that they've been working on for a while.
Yeah, I can't
And
even tell you
I
exactly
don't
what it
even.
is,
Yeah.
but it's something that's been I could follow up with you after I check my email.
Yeah, I would like to. It'd be nice if we all knew what was going on.
And then at the
Yeah.
next month's meeting, have an incident report as to how well it went. That would might be good.
So do they have a break on the line?
Yeah. I'm not sure. Jerry just sent an email. I didn't know about it until I saw the email for the door hangers.
Okay.
So yeah, so I thought maybe Don and Jerry were working on something, but
Okay.
yeah, I'm not too familiar.
Okay, any more on manager?
And then no, that's it.
Okay. And board member information, the Brown Act. I think Diane, you had some words on that.
Did you? I sent it to you, but I don't know if Don got a chance to disseminate it to the other board members. Do you know?
You have to know Scott of that because I have. I actually did a made a print out of it.
I just wanted to just do the high points there, if you don't mind, Greg. Just it's nothing major for the special districts. The county, of course, is meeting that specific criteria that it's really wrapped up in, so they have to reinstate hybrid access for the public, but we do that anyway. So there's really no major
Doesn't impact how we
incident.
already
Yes.
do. Is that what you're saying?
I'm sorry,
Nothing
what?
impacts how we already do things. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. But I also had sent out the booklet from CSDA to Don for dissemination too, but I'm not sure if you all got it. If not, he'll probably get around to it or give it to Scott for dissemination.
Sounds like.
It's the updated version for the SB 707 Browns Act. Okie
And got a note from Don too. There's a like LAFCO joining opportunity, I think, and there should be emails to all the board members coming from him with information on how to sign up. Just thought I'd mention that.
doke. The work being done at Valve Westridge is the pump station check valve is being replaced. That
Okay. Awesome.
area, unit 5, because it's higher elevation than the tanks, they have the pump that feeds that whole area. So the check valve in the pump is being replaced for that
Yeah, because
area.
otherwise the water comes back down.
Yeah. So that's why it's just that unit.
Okay,
That's
that makes
their
sense.
flag pump.
So is
Pardon me for a second, Greg. I did forget one other thing. In the CSDA newsletter, there's now funding of opportunity for cybersecurity, and there's a webinar, and I'm hoping that the board will just have Scott attend that webinar to find out more about that cybersecurity funding.
Okay.
I did get Don did send that to me, so
All right,
I.
very good. Okay, thank you.
Okay, we are at comments from the audience and on items not on the agenda. Anything we want to add to the or talk about not on the agenda?
I'm actually from CSA. I don't know if
Okay,
Don
you're
could add
you're
it to
yeah yeah
the.
you're
Okay.
yeah. In
I'll
fact,
leave it with the event.
you're very the very next person on the agenda.
Oh,
So, and we're going to put your presentation up as well. This is your Dame
Wadley, yes. Oh,
Wadley.
yeah. Oh, good. Am I up now?
You're up.
Officially? Okay. Thanks so much. Yeah, Dave Wadley. I'm the field director for the California Special Districts Association. So for your guys' purposes, basically the field liaison to the special districts here in your guys' area. I live down in Auburn proper, so not too far. But just wanted to come out. Been talked to Don a couple times over the past few years. You guys have been a CSDA member, a member of our association for. Coming up on 6 years now. And obviously just wanted to have you make sure you guys put a face to the name. I know you guys already been talking about us with our acronym, and I'm the in-person representative, of course, of the association for you guys. And I just provided Don and obviously you guys, so I'll take a step back here real quick. So what is CSDA, right? What do we do? So CSDA is a nonprofit membership association for all types of special districts throughout the state, right? Small ones like you guys, right? Big ones, BCWA, big water districts, fire districts, et cetera, right? And so there's two primary things that we do for the members like you guys. The first is legislative advocacy, right? So we're basically like, we have our main offices in downtown Sacramento. We have lobbyists who are protecting special districts as an entity in the legislature, supporting or opposing bills as the case may be. You mentioned 707, SB 707, the Brown Act. So that was a bill that we were very involved with last year. And well, kind of tuning our own horn here a little bit, but earlier in the process, some of those provisions that frankly were gonna be much more onerous, especially on you guys as a small district, were still in the bill. We were able to get those amended out of the bill because it was gonna be a big problem for a lot of districts. So it was narrowed significantly to include obviously a lot of things that you guys already do. And then some of the more onerous provisions, depending on this from your perspective, were limited to apply to like really big.
What was an example of that? I'm kind of curious.
So they have to do like translations, like services. So if you have a certain population like that speaks different language, then you have to translate all of your agendas and minutes in different languages. But it's like you have to have, you know, you have to have like a budget of like 400 million and like 200 employees and all this stuff, right? Obviously not you guys, but there are some of the big utility districts.
Is that where the part about the, is it eligible districts came in? Is that the right word?
Yeah, right. So we were really focused on the eligible districts and changing the components of that to say what actually meets an eligible district. And of course, we were trying to limit that to, you know, essentially really big ones that have a lot of, you know, have more staff, having more ability to kind of do those things in areas that have some of those Brown Act, you know, different Brown Act challenges than what you guys do here in Christian Valley, right? So anyways, all that's to say, 707, you know, that's a example of CSDA's advocacy efforts most recently, last year on your behalf, because there was a bill that we were, you know, opposed unless amended throughout it and tried to get amendments, and we were able to remove our opposition, and you know, it's much better than what it was. So this document here that I've sent you is, it's called our Take Action Brief, a little bit out of date. It's from January. We haven't released our February one yet, but we basically put out a monthly legislative update on what we're kind of following right now legislatively on your behalf, make it available to the membership, of course. And so that's what's kind of summarized here. And so, you know, as we kind of get, you know, it's early in the year for the legislature too, so there's not a lot of bills, not a lot of action right now. This will be much more, you know, involved and extensive as, of course, we keep going on further in the year. And, you know, you'll certainly, or at least Don, or will be hearing from me as we go further along about bills that we're supporting or opposing and that you guys should be aware of, because that's, you know, one of the reasons you pay us. So that's, again, what this document is. So we just, for this last month, we just talked about one of the state the LAO, Legislative Analyst Office, you know, talked a little about the state budget that recently came out and kind of what they're seeing from that. Fortunately, the state budget doesn't affect special districts too much because your funding isn't directly tied to the state, right? Like counties and cities to some extent, right? And that's obviously, you know, you have rates, right? Locally. But anyways, just background information. Last year, we did a virtual tour for basically legislative staff on, you know, some work that special districts are doing just to highlight the work of special districts and Sacramento. So we did that. There were a couple of bills that they're not going to pertain to you guys, but this advocacy to protect local control. Basically, there were some bills that, especially for PCWA, for example, next door, right? They have like connection charges, right? Capacity fees, how you call them, or development related fees, especially for like all the West Roseville development, all those people are connecting into the system. There's a fee associated with that. There have been efforts in the state legislature over the past few years to, you know, basically kind of like restrict those fees or to defer them, because the argument goes that, oh, well, these fees are not in PCWAs. I mean, it's a big fee, right, to connect into the system. But the argument has gone in the legislature that, well, those fees are a deterrent to building affordable housing in California. And of course, we're like, well, it's a big fee, but there's a reason for it to provide service. The fire guys, of course, had it too, Parks and Rec. have those type of fees to provide services. I mean, all those fees are associated with new services for new development, right?
Impact fees.
Impact fees, mm-hmm. Right, exactly, yes. So they're just different, like, you know, the water guys call it the capacity and the connection charges, and then you said the impact fees for park and fire. So anyways, there are a couple of bills associated with that. We were able to stop early in this year. The last thing, this 15-day comment period. So there's an effort through regulations of the California Resources Board to, again, not going to affect you guys, I don't think, but certainly PCWA, to transition all the medium and heavy duty fleet vehicles from basically gas engine to electric vehicles. Big challenge because the reliability of the vehicles as they're going up country to have to make repairs or whatnot. Obviously, the infrastructure for electric vehicles, right, needs to be in place to have all those, especially for a district with a number of cars and having to charge all those things. So we're basically, long story short, we're really involved in that whole process, trying to basically change some of the language and the regulations.
We don't have any vehicles, but what about generators?
Right.
Because that would be a...
Yeah, no, this one is actually just specific to
just
the vehicles. Yeah, medium and heavy duty fleet vehicles.
Because our generator is diesel, right?
Right.
Or
right.
Something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, at least that one. Those ones yet have not, they haven't come after those. So keep our... Your fingers crossed.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So, and there you go. There's, if you really want to know all the details, this is really what we're asking for. There's language in the regulations, which has a definition of emergency vehicles that includes the fire, right? All the fire vehicles, right? Your fire trucks, they can basically be gas vehicles, right? Because they have to respond to fires. We're arguing that emergency response vehicles should include like utilities and services that would have to be provided in the event of like a fire or something else, should be able to be gas engines and be reliable, right? So again, case in point, PCWA, there's a mosquito fire right nearby, you have to go out to French Meadows,
yeah.
Make sure the water is still, they can get water down the canyon to the Middle Fork and up to all of us, etc. Well, you guys get your umbrellas, but anyways. Still, that's what the intent of our language and what we're trying to do is on that. So anyways, that's legislative side and some of the things I talked about. The second part of what CSDA is a training organization, right? So assistance for special districts, keeping compliance with the law, Brown Act, right? A lot of these trainings. One of the ones that's most relevant right now is through a bill that was passed last year, SB 827, all of you board members are now required to take 2 hours of financial or fiscal training every 2 years, kind of like your ethics and your Brown Act, mm-hmm. or your ethics and your harassment prevention training. So this is basically another requirement in addition to that.
And that goes into effect this year?
Right. So it just, January 1, it's in effect. So you basically have 2 years to do that. We have a webinar coming up on March 4th. You guys can log on. You can take care of it like you do the other ones to get it all done. So that's, again, to illustrate, right, the training aspect of CFDA and making sure that you're kind of all up to date on that. And then last thing is that, and again, this will be an example for you guys here shortly here. I'll get there in 30 seconds, is we have basically various discounts on services through CSDA's business affiliates. We have business affiliates, right, who are basically involved in special districts and selling them things to help you guys. For you guys, the most obvious example is Streamline, your website, right? So you guys have that through Streamline. Streamline's a partner. Streamline's now going into Civic Plus for the website. That's a little bit more information. But by virtue of you guys being a CSDA member, you get a significant discount on your website through Streamline/Civic Plus by doing so. So that's some of the things that we try to pass along, of course, to the members, to, a website and all the transparency requirements and give you a discount to make it all happen, because, again, obviously it's a cost. And you guys, with your smaller budget, trying to save costs where you can, and that's kind of where we come in on that. So all that's to say, I know there's a lot of information, but... I'm your CSDA contact. I certainly, like I said, met Dawn on at least a few occasions. I met one time too when you came over. So good to see you again. I have my card in here, which has my cell phone and email and all that good stuff. If you have questions, if we can be of assistance, please feel free to reach out to me or Don as well. And we can try to help catch you with what we have to hopefully make your life easier. So with that, I'll go ahead and wrap up to any questions if you have those, but obviously appreciate you guys just being a member and you guys have helped us out with.
We appreciate you coming and thank you for now we have a face that goes with all the big organization.
Yeah,
we
get about three get the emails and that's good to have.
Yeah, right. So
that's
who we are, or who I represent.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for keeping us on our toes on our things that we have to.
Right. Yeah. It's exactly. Trying to make it so it's as easy as possible. I mean, it's all, just a little context of it in terms of, I know it's, it's two more hours frankly out of your life and do training, et cetera, but it definitely helps our advocacy efforts on the other side I talked about. And when we have everybody going through that, because the legislature goes, oh, there's these special districts, are they doing what they're supposed to be doing? When you guys are obviously doing your trainings and all that, and it helps our advocacy team, our lobbyists go, yeah, get off our back.
Go away.
Nicely. But, anyways.
Here, we can show you.
Exactly.
Yeah. I get some of the Brown Act training on your web. I went in to look at the videos because you keep them up.
Right.
And so that's where I.
Yeah.
Get some of my training on the Brown Act.
Good. And we have those, like the Brown Act or the manuals and a host of other kind of, manuals just to give you information as to state laws and best practices and all that good stuff.
It was good information, the way it was presented.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Well, thanks, Dad.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Good time to
you. Thank you.
But Joanne, Diane, you had a question?
No, I was thanking him for appearing.
Okay, next on the agenda is talking about your.
Thanks again.
Sure thing.
Yeah. Thanks, I heard. Thanks again. Thank you.
Okay.
Oh,
thanks, Shane. Come back.
Bring those four hangers.
Okay.
And if you could email that contact you mentioned earlier, just
absolutely.
To Scott. And
okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have Scott, but I have your email.
Yeah.
And you have Don's, obviously.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay, great.
All right. So this is just kind of short. It's just to give you an idea of what found out there. And I went out there, I met, Steve, who lives on Shadow Court, he lives south of the easement, part of the easement runs through his property, and super nice guy, really helpful, a retired engineer or civic engineer. So he was awesome, hopped my car. He was interested. So he actually showed me one spot where I didn't even know there was an access. So this is you did ask to have it traced and asked for the most rudimentary tracing, and so we're starting at the most rudimentary, and maybe Shane could chime in here. Every single access on the right there is the access, the second one from the right, third one from the right, and the one closest to the tank site that you see is that is an air gap. Is that the right
word?
And they're all in line, they're all about maybe 2 feet, 3 feet from the north side of the easement. Do you think there's any reasonable reason why that pipe shouldn't be completely straight to that easement?
I'm sorry, I missed the first part of
it. These are all the yellow arrows are either the accesses, the valve access, or the air gaps.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any reasonable reason why you think that pipe wouldn't be completely straight down that easement?
I wouldn't have any, I wouldn't think so.
Steve kind of said the same thing. He said, they're boom, 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 and there's probably more.
Yeah, they're collinear.
That are buried, and so
Those were just the ones you were able to locate.
Those are the ones I was able to locate. I went out to the metal detector. You know, I'm out there sweeping them through the weeds and stuff, and trying to find them. But those are the ones we could find. And the one on the left there, interestingly, I wanted to bring this up. The one on the far left, that's where there's a hill, and the road comes down around the hill, and you know, we're at the very beginning. And then if you look to the right, you're going toward the plant. There's a hill where the easement actually is, and those are the pictures you saw where it's like obviously.
Well, yeah, where that one is going uphill. Yeah.
The air gap is built at the top of the hill. So the guy Steve, he looked at me and he said, that easement's never been used. That's never been a road, because that right there would have been sticking out, and it was never used as a road to get to the plant.
Yeah.
In his opinion. So pretty fascinating.
So are there boxes around
there are the
facility or these access points or
yeah, they're just boxes that are the three on the right. And the one is within the plant that's right there. It's actually just right outside of the paving of the plant proper. And then the middle two are boxes that are just right there. And each one, like I said, is 2 to 3 feet off the north side of the easement, all linear, you know. And then the last one, the one closest to the tank site, that's the air gap. And it looks like it had been capped at some point. I don't know if it was leaky or whatever, but it's just got a plate over the top. You know, it doesn't affect its function.
A blind plate. That's what it's
called. And what does the air gap do? Keep things from getting stuck or something? What does an air gap?
It's just more likely air release.
Yeah, release. Okay.
You want to tell
them? Yeah, bubbles, no, you're right. Yeah.
Bubbles or
something. Yeah.
Gets okay. The air out, yeah, because okay. You don't want to have air in your breast meat.
Yeah.
That was a bad thing.
I actually have a photo of it if you want to see it, but that when I was out there with Steve, there it is. That's what it looks like right there.
Oh, okay.
You know, I don't know the topography of this, but probably if you were to like look at the grades, they're probably at high points, right?
And that was
because
a hill.
When your force main gets, you know, when your water stops, it's going to drain to the low points, right? And then when it starts back up, then there's going to be air possibly in there, and you want to release it as opposed to push it off.
Okay,
I'm just guessing, I don't know.
It's a pipe,
but usually they're at high points.
The water,
It's going up the hill.
Yeah,
it's going down. You won't see it. It comes back up the hill. It'll be at the next hill. High points.
Right there.
And that's the only real high point.
That one's actually looks like it's capped off.
Yeah.
But
so how does the air escape?
Well,
somebody has to open it up, right?
Yeah.
So they know when air is stuck in there.
No, it's a mechanical thing.
If you have a breach in your system, you're giving energy.
So does it look like that has a flange on it, or does it?
No. I mean,
it's like a periscope.
it looks like half.
Yeah, but they would read when they have a that one. Does that one been capped? It looks like it's got.
Yeah. So I mean, he knows
normally
more,
they got a. That, normally they have a.
It looks like thing. Kind of like exactly.
Yeah.
They look kind of like a mushroom, like a bell sort of. Thing that, in my experience, but there's a lot of different manufacturers and.
Yeah.
You know, sewer ones are probably different than freshwater because you've got a lot more solids in it.
Right.
But I think, you know, basically it comes up and there's like some sort of mushroom bell sort of shape sort of thing. And all it is there's, as the water goes up, there's like a spring with a float in there, and then it just lets it out. And then when
water pressure is, and you don't get
it's a mechanical
come. Yeah
and like in some of them they're actually, it's called a combination air release valve, so that means it releases air but it also lets air in, because you can get a vacuum.
And that's a bad thing too.
Because a vacuum, it will crush your pipe,
right?
So I don't know, you know, but that is definitely capped. Like if you were, did you take any other pictures of the other points?
I didn't take any other. The other ones are just hatches, and I didn't open them.
Yeah, that's cool. Anyways, yeah, so I don't know if they're actually a combination or it's just releasing air or letting air in, because like, you know, if there's vacuum, then that spring or that ball will go down and allow air to go in, so you're not creating a vacuum.
And he found the product. He actually was online. He looked for the product and found the product, and it's called the Valmatic Air Release Air Vacuum Valve.
There you go. It's a combination, and then it's air relief.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He found that's what it looks like new. Yeah.
Got it.
Got it.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it's
that's a air release valve I've never seen. I mean,
yeah.
That must be an old design or something. But
right. So,
yeah, well, we got to realize that some of this stuff was put in 1962.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's what I was going to mention. That's probably why it's straight with nothing was there when they
right.
did it, right?
Yeah. Right?
They're able to make a nice straight line.
Right. But saying that that area probably was never used for access kind of leads to the next slide. This shows we did a little more sleuthing out there, and there is where the red line is. There is obvious previous use.
Old road.
But yeah, old. That's where there is no easement. He suspects there was an easement, so I looked into it. I called the county and asked them if there was an easement associated with the properties up there that match the red line. And she said, no. The document I provided, which is this one, if you look, this is what it's talking about. This is the north side of
the
dividing line. This is where we drive in some areas. This is the only map that Placer County knows of that actually specifies this dirt traveled way, as it says. There's no easement associated with it. It was just used for something back. This was from 1980.
What's the date? Okay.
19, yeah. Yeah.
79 August.
What's the date on the date stamp on that?
This August 79 is a written number.
The date? I see it. Saw some.
It's been seen in
the. I thought it said 80, but you know it might be 79. This says 79. The map is 79, but I think there's a.
Within that circle.
Late 19.
Oh,
you were under the utility the certificate record, recorder's certificate, filed this 22nd day, February
1980. So it's been in use at least before then. The map is 79, so it's been in use at least before then. But anyway, going back to this, so the red is the where it looks like it had been used in the past, where obviously it had, but we don't use that portion anymore. In fact, there is an area, a low point, where we have a culvert on our easement. For access, and there is a parallel culvert right next to it over on the previously used road. You know, showing obviously somebody used this, they cared enough to put a culvert there. But it's not an easement, it's just there, but it's old enough to where, you know, you could argue for it. And that leads to
Did that red line go through any properties?
Yeah, it goes through. I drew these.
Those are the lot lines.
Eyes. These are very rough. I just did them eye by eye just to give you an idea of how many properties it goes through. So here's a property, here's a property, here's a property, all the way down. And then it cuts back in right here, and somebody has a fence right here. So it goes back this way.
So those properties, what street are they on?
Christian Valley Road.
Christian Valley Road. So when the plant was made in the 60s, those properties weren't
there. None of those were there. None of these were here. You might have had one, but
May I say something? Well,
sure.
I remember riding through there. That used to be, in part, a fire break. So I'm kind of, because I could ride that whole dirt road back there, and it was cut as a fire break many, many, many moons ago. So I'm just wondering if there's a separate. I don't know if the fire or CAL FIRE or any of those keeps those kind of records for when they cut fire breaks. Anyways, it's just a thought. I just remember just riding that whole, you know, all the way along the backside like that years ago when in the 60s and 70s. So anyhow.
So, sorry for
Thank you.
So that leads to the how to officially report restrictive easement. FOIA title.
See you next time.
Quiet title. I'm sure Diane can explain this whole process, but essentially, the long story short is call a real estate attorney.
You have to file a lawsuit, title lawsuit.
Wouldn't it be easier to just go in the existing easement?
I'm sorry, what did you say,
Reed? Construction and all kinds
of good. So he asked if it would be easier to just go in the existing easement.
Yeah.
So if we go back to this one here, it would be easier up till about. It'd be easier for here. So for this part, there is, if you remember the picture, remember the two gates where it just goes straight through and it's just flat. It'd be very easy to just kind of straighten it out, go right here. But right here, we're pretty sure that this has never been used for access. And if it had, it was very briefly. And that whoever, because it was just a reservoir and, you know, there was no road to speak of, you know, it was just, they would just go out here and use that because there was already a dirt road there, you know, and they just used it. And so this part never really got used. And it's a hill. I mean, the elevation difference has got to be 10 feet from where they at, from the yellow to the blue.
So the yellow could have been what they exist as the fire break that Diane's talking about, maybe?
Yeah, that's, yeah.
When Christian Valley Park was developed, we only had one tank. So we didn't have the two tanks that we right. have now. So I'm trying to visualize the where the only tank was that we started out. Was it this?
It was right here.
It was right there.
The reservoir.
That's where the second tank was built.
Well, yeah, they filled the reservoir, graded it, compacted
yeah.
it, you know, built the tank. They built this one. And then when that was under construction, they started that one. Just from looking at the construction.
I thought where the second tank was where our original tank was.
That'd be right.
I've been thinking that's what, because it was a big stink because they thought it was leaking and then they took it out and it wasn't leaking. That's when Heidi was on the board.
Yeah, whatever they did then, this was already in use for exiting the tank or the reservoir at the time. So they just used that. They built that into the tank project. So they put the gate there. And everything they put that. In fact, they put the tank in the area.
Yeah, it's in the access.
It's in where you would normally drive out through the easement.
Yeah,
right.
But
again, the easement is likely has never been actually used for access.
But it's an easement. Yeah.
Just because they just used the dirt road.
So they didn't need to.
So the solution is kind of a hybrid. Like Reed says, reclaim the blue on the right, but do the lawsuit or whatever it is for that one.
Right. And
for the left one.
It would almost be easier just to do nothing. But then the thing about a prescriptive easement, as far as I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, Diane,
But the thing about the prescriptive easement is you have to, you can't know that you're not supposed to be using this.
And we obviously have all this documented.
And now we know. Yeah. And so where's the...
In which case, then those owners could always come back and they have a have standing to
right.
do something much yeah. more
they could look, they could
arduous for us.
Unless right. they deeded that their little bit of property to us.
That's yeah. I was actually going to say, why couldn't we just instead of like lawsuiting,
yeah,
just do it discuss the go and talk to those three properties and say, hey, can we like get just the easement over this existing road?
And yeah,
talk
and you know make it a recorded easement. Yeah, a recorded easement, if they would be willing to do that.
If they don't, then maybe you do the prescriptive easement thing.
Because it's at the back of their property, right? It's the very back.
And the way that their fences are built, it looks like they've always, it's sort
right.
of always been.
It's all established and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe they, you know, we just say, hey, you know what, we just realized and we'd like to make it official.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be nice.
Because it wouldn't do them any good to reclaim it at this point.
It's, yeah, it's just active dirt road.
Yeah. I mean, in fact, an argument can be made it's a liability thing, right? Just, you know, it's... Something were to happen on there, push comes to shove, someone gets hurt on that road, they own that property where they got hurt on, right?
Right.
You make that argument to, just to protect you, let's you know, make it a, you know.
I think, I mean, if we did talk to him, I think I would like
don't open with that.
Well,
yeah,
right. But I would, and then I would actually ask for like a little more than the actual dirt, so that way we could make it a little wider and
yeah.
better for
yeah.
heavy equipment to get up to the plane. I'm not saying a whole lot wider, but say the road is like 12 feet wide at the moment, right? If we could ask and say, hey, we'd like to get an easement that's like 15 feet wide or something.
Yeah, in case we move a lot.
Does that split their lot though? Like makes their lot two pieces? That, huh?
No, it's an easement. We're not asking
okay.
for. We're not asking for the actual deed. It's
okay.
an easement. All it needs to be is
recorded.
Yeah, and
okay,
just
they have the right
a to... surveyor would need to draft it up.
Yeah.
And then have your first, you know, your starting point, and then they would do meets and bounds on it and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would just be recorded against those properties. But they all that does is gives us access to that, but it does not change
okay.
the actual
property
boundaries or anything.
Yeah.
No,
exactly.
they still very much own.
We do.
Okay.
It just gives us the legal authority to actually
which we
access that, and then we could improve that road
mm-hmm.
legally. And they could not put up a fence. So right now they could put a fence up and we wouldn't really have a way to get through there.
Chair, may I interject, please?
Sure.
I would like to suggest to the board that this discussion in detail of what the strategy would be something to discuss with an authority in a closed session so that we know what would be proposed, not what, you know, instead of fielding it here.
So for the March meeting, let's put on the agenda to have a closed session.
Yeah, closed session and possibly.
Council present, is that what you're suggesting? Or?
I think so.
Yes. It'd be more appropriate.
Why?
Thank you. Because these, when you're negotiating with the board and the proper person that has the legalities to guide us on what strategy we need to use in order to get this easement settled and recorded.
But shouldn't we talk to the homeowners first to see
Well,
if
we need to know what our legal parameters are, but we're because from what I've watched in terms of like the zoning commission or appeals and everything else that I've watched through the county, generally speaking, when the parties or the developer, whoever's trying to achieve this kind of matter, it gets discussed before it goes to open meeting, but then there's a hearing put forth for the neighbors to come forward and either lodge their grievance or in writing and have their say in the hearing once we've established the path that we were choosing to go.
because I remember getting notices in the mail of anybody who wants to make a change on their property line.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, lot line adjustment
Yeah.
or a variance or whatever, right? But we just need to be clear about what our legal parameters are before we go into we would be issuing a letter to all the within a sphere of influence of that easement to come forward and have their voices heard as to their opinion.
Those properties, yeah.
And to
So
start
is
us off our
that
discussion,
you?
we're going to talk about the three lots near the tanks, but the other solution on the other side is just change the what we'll ultimately do is just change the road back to our easement. Is that the approach that we're agreeing to there?
Sure.
On the right, yeah, toward the plant. That, like Reed suggested, we just go back to the easement in that case. In the other case, we do what we're talking about here, but down here, the other yellow.
The one thing about the one on the right is that there is a fence around it, and the woman who lives there, she had put it up. It was somebody, the previous homeowner. So it might be kind of,
You might have to move the fence.
You might have to just put up a
Okay.
new one. There is a gate, but it's a closed gate. And I guess just it would be a matter of discussing with the homeowner to see how she wants it covered. But I don't think it would be, I think it would be within reason to, if we have to, just put the new fence
And
for
you
her.
and we're already sort of doing construction-y things to fix the road anyway, so
Right.
that would just be rolled into
Yeah.
it, right?
It would probably be just a good thing to do.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll leave it at that until next meeting, right? So we'll have a discussion about what's on the left there toward the tanks and on the right. That's pretty straightforward. So whatever actions need to be taken to
Yeah.
move us forward in those directions,
Yeah.
let's put that on the agenda for next.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll talk with Don Smith and kind of work out who we. Diane, if you have any preference for counsel, then I wish that we were going to contact real estate attorneys. But if there's, I don't know if you.
You know what? I'll try to I'm gonna call I'll call somebody, Scott, and I'll get back to you on what the recommendation might be. That otherwise, we'll just pick one out of a hat. But I'll give it a shot, see if I can't get a name.
Okay, thank you.
Real estate attorneys are very expensive.
Expensive, yeah.
Very, very
Well,
expensive.
maybe you can,
I don't know
ask
if
Margaret.
Margaret,
Is Margaret
I
up on this kind of thing?
easements. That would be very good question because she's not as expensive. She's not going to be as expensive as real estate attorneys, I'm going to tell you.
Scott Brown was the attorney that did the land use for the district when they were doing the tanks. That just came to mind, right, Dan? Isn't that correct?
Scott
Wasn't
Brown
it? Do
was
you
the.
remember, Dan? Wasn't it Scott Brown?
I can't remember, Diane, to be honest with you. The name sounds familiar, but I don't know. I don't remember.
Is Jerry LaBuddy now?
Yeah, I'm sure he would because that's who was overseeing the tank project for the land use.
Jerry would probably be your best contact on that then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm sure he's got his record somewhere. Yeah.
Well, the reason that came to mind is because he's already familiar with that property. It's the attorney I'm thinking of.
Why do we have a land use for the tanks? Land use agreement?
And because of USDA, Reed, they required a land use, some kind of sign off in terms of the legal language that had to go with the tanks for USDA loan.
I see.
Okay.
Just want to add one more thing. I should have led with this, but over here, as you can see, this part kind of goes in a little bit as well. And that's yeah. Very low impact. That is going to be no issue whatsoever. Actually, Steve lives, where is he? He's right here. And it goes in maybe 2 feet, 4 feet, but it's all flat, and that's not.
We can just move that easy.
Yeah, sorry, I should have led with that. But.
Do that with a rake and a shovel.
Yeah. Right? Not
okay, did you have more slides?
Is that nope.
Project last one? Okay. Great, good movement on that. Number three is the board will discuss the threat assessment for the trees or anything that compromises the water main connecting Ross to William Court.
That one. Don is talking with Jerry about that, and I. Sorry. Next week, Jerry's going to go out there next week and take a look at it.
Okay.
So
should we postpone this to the next meeting?
Yeah, after the next meeting.
Yeah, do we have to make a motion to postpone things for the next meeting?
Who's the expert on that? Who's the parliamentarian here? Not me. Diane, do you know? Do we need to make it?
Not if it's only a discussion item. If it's an action item, yeah.
Okay. It's discussion slash action item.
Okay, now we're going to do those combined speed humps and bumps, right? And then
yeah,
the speed camera or whatever.
So the vehicle speed tracker, the reason we did want to try to get one of those is because you need to do in order to put in the speed humps and be above board and try to be above liability, you want to do a road survey. And to start the road survey, you need a speed tracker. So I...
The speed tracker are the things that tell you how fast you
right.
Yeah, and that you can get from CHP.
Right, you can clock it, mm-hmm. and then they get a record of it. It just gives us at least some data set to work off of to see, like, do we really need the speed, you know, to justify it?
Yes.
You know, before we go full throttle and
okay.
do a big, expensive study. So I talked to Placer County, and I looked at they have the... CNTM program. It's the County Neighborhood Traffic Management Program. It's shortened as the traffic calming, I think is what they call it.
And calming?
Calming.
Calming the traffic.
Calming.
Calm it down.
Yeah. And I asked if we could do that program for Stanley, you know, because they do the study and they do all the business for you. And they said, we only do county roads.
Oh.
So if it's a, and I said, well, it's a public use road, mm-hmm. it's just privately maintained. She said, but it's not county. So we can't do the program on your road because it's county. He said, but you should contact CHP. So I contacted CHP and they said, you should contact Placer County.
So did you tell CHP this was a private road, not a county road?
Well, I went in and I told him, I said, yeah, well, so it's a privately maintained public use road that, and he said, oh, you got a lot of asterisks attached to that road, huh? And I said, yeah. So he gave me an email of, I think it was his supervisor. He did one of the supervisors of the whole area and their offices in Newcastle. And so I sent him an email, and I sent him that email last week, and I'm waiting to hear back. So that's as far as I've gotten.
I think we're using the wrong words, because it's not a private road, and it's not privately maintained. No, because Christian Valley Water Board is not a private board, is it?
It's a special district board. It is, we're getting money from Placer County. Go ahead, Diane.
You're right, Reed. We are a public entity.
Exactly. So
it is a public road, but we have jurisdictional overseeing. So yes, we're used to it. If it was private, it would be like a home. It would be like a homeowners association or road association. That would be the distinguishing difference.
Kind of like Jacob's Ranch.
Right. I would not say private road anymore because it's not a private road.
We don't say private road. We say public road, privately maintained.
But it's not even privately maintained.
No, because the county gives us money. Well, the way it was explained to me is that our property taxes, the county would come back to us.
Yeah.
So it's almost a county road.
It is not maintained by the county, but we are a public entity. Right, Diane?
Yes, we absolutely are. We are a subdivision of the state of California.
See?
So did when this county, when it became the discussion you had the first thing before the CHP, who brought up that it wasn't a county road?
It was both. Who brought that it wasn't a county road? Well, I said it was a county road.
So maybe we can revisit it with the new findings. You know,
it is. I would say it's not a county maintained road because that's what the sign says, but it is maintained by a public entity.
Who's funded
it? It's just a district. It's a district's road.
It's funded by the taxpayers in our sphere of influence.
Exactly.
Correct.
So it's not considered a private.
Absolutely not.
No. It's district. It's controlled with our district boundaries under the, you know, jurisdiction of LAFCO. So that, like I said, it's a subdivision of the state of California. Therefore, although, you know, we're just local control over local utilities and or access. And so absolutely 100% dependent on tax revenue, but it's only from this sphere of influence. And but anyways, I'm going to suggest that actually the jurisdiction for us is the Placer County Sheriff's Department.
So they could do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
The other
catch feeders.
The other thing I want to bring up, and I randomly noticed this on a plan I was reviewing in Sacramento County, the fire department approves those humps.
Really? Because they have to run their engines over.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
So if you wanna put a hump or a bump or a lump on that on a Stanley, you'd better get approved from whoever does our fire.
That's the other thing that CHP did bring up. Yeah, I think everybody at Placer County brought up to you. Everybody I've talked to said they should talk to the fire department.
which would be probably Higgins, one out by Colby then, because that would be the one that would
suppose. Either Bowman. Bowman is our district, our Middle Vista.
Technically, Bowman is technically fire.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Bowman is technically who is assigned to us for fire in priority, but of course, they all have contract to overlap each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would come, though, after a traffic study. Or are you suggesting we do it preemptively? Just to make sure that
I probably wait till after a traffic study before we take one step at a time.
How about this? How about I call the county, put on a new face, and I'll call the county, and I will try to enroll us in the traffic calming program without saying anything.
See what they do. Yeah, and then that sounds good to me.
Sounds good. Yeah.
The one thing about the calming program is, I think, if I remember right, that you need to get 66%, is it 66% of the residences along the road to approve it.
Which should be easy, but we have to
You
do
have to,
it.
yeah, you
Yeah,
have to do
we have
it.
to do
Yeah,
it.
which
Yeah.
So how many people are on Stan on that part of Stanley? There's
is, I
probably
would
maybe
predict
20 homes.
maybe that is
Maybe.
that.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Especially on that downhill section.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's that one corner property that takes up that entire curve.
Yeah.
And that's just
Yeah, that's
one
right. Yeah.
house.
You might try calling the sheriff's department, just for grins and giggles, Scott, to see if they have the, a department for doing traffic studies in rural roads.
Okay, we'll do.
Thank you.
Okay,
Okay,
until next
next.
month,
Yep,
we'll get
we'll
more.
keep that moving
Yeah.
in the next month. And now we are on five. The board will consider a draft emergency action plan for severe water rates.
Could we put this off because this is a lot to read,
Okay.
and I would like to go over it.
Okay, and then
Can
Scott was mentioning you could do live edits, but we can do that next time if that's what.
yeah, because it's kind of over the top for
Oh,
us, is what I'm thinking.
yes, that's templated from some other
You
Yeah.
just pulled it and
Okay.
pulled it almost exactly and just filled in a couple of things and just as like a template.
Yeah. Okay.
So
Well then, all right, let's
Because
get put
I
it in.
think this is the way I was skimming over it. I'm going, we don't really need all of this in here.
I agree.
It's, you know, I
It's
could
just over the top for our small community.
I can try to put something a little more our community together if you want. I mean, during next month.
That would be nice
Okay, let's
if
do
you,
that. That'll be
okay.
the action there.
Yeah, because
And we can iterate in the
we don't
month.
need like 4 pages of stuff.
Yeah, you probably need about a page of conversation.
Maybe.
Maybe a
Maybe
page.
a page,
Maybe
yeah.
a page.
Yeah, like having the board members as emergency contacts, like having all of the board.
Right.
And just and if you do that, if could you send it to the general manager or whatever,
I'll send
if
it to whoever wants one. But
yeah, and to let us review it before the next meeting. This was too much to review.
I skipped it. I was like, I'll just see what happens in
Yeah,
the
I'm just going, ah.
I read through it twice. And I'm like, okay, yeah.
I didn't, I just skimmed it and I'm going, what? We really need all of this?
Well, I just wondered if it could be simplified. That's all.
Yeah, it's simplified. We need to simplify it. Okay.
Okay, so that's what we'll do next time.
Simplify.
Item six, the board will consider the option for renting. It kind of relates. So this is the affordable water tote for emergency water rates.
So I talked to first I looked at private companies just to kind of see what was out there, and most of them do water, but they're for events and
Oh yeah.
concerts and venues and festivals and things like that. And they also it's you need a date. You need oh I need your water from this date to this date. And
Yeah.
then for the emergency ones, they are really more focused on large scale
Like if there's a hurricane
disaster,
or
you know. So if there's a wildfire, sure. But if there's a water break and 10 people are out of water,
so it's
then
probably just buying a bunch of bottled water sitting on the corner and
that's exactly all the effort that you've done. I'd
go
say like just buy 10
to
cases and have it
Costco.
stashed.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And then be done.
because
Yeah.
water doesn't spoil.
Yeah, just
As long as it's in the sun.
inside
The plastic
some sort of
rings down.
structure,
Right.
Yeah.
and not too hot of a structure,
Of
right?
course. So, and who's living in
Under someone's house where it
that?
stays cool all
I got a
summer.
basement. I can put cases of water in there, no problem. But
Charges rent.
yeah, with the rest of the tools.
Pretty soon they're gonna have the two plate, whatever they're called here, suit that stores all the tools
Oh,
and
the
the plants.
sheds, yeah.
The sheds, yes.
But they get pretty hot during the summer,
They
right?
do, yeah.
Right, but
Yeah.
I'm just saying it,
You almost need a brick block building.
I was just thinking he was talking about the tools. Are
Oh,
they
understood.
tools that they belong to the,
District, yeah, like the auger, yeah.
yeah, so all of that can be up here where you can store water.
That's right.
I got a big basement. It doesn't bother me, but I guess the nice to have it in one place.
Yeah.
But just real quick, off of what Reed was saying, I did call PCW or I emailed PCWA about how they respond to water and asked them if they use these codes, use these services, and they literally said, "No, if there's a leak bad enough, we just put our pallets of water."
Which is kind of what we have.
So that would be the most logical thing
Yeah.
to do, the least expensive thing to do.
Yes, maybe like have different sizes on hand, and buy each house a couple big ones and a case of small ones, and call it good. Yeah,
Yeah.
because bottled water is cheap, so.
That's, yeah, I'll make a motion. Ready?
Okay.
For item six, the board considering option of renting a portable water tote for emergency water breaks, I propose that the district buys 10 cases or 10, yeah, 10 cases of bottled water and 10 1-gallon jugs of bottled water to keep
For
on hand for
emergency.
emergency uses once it's used to be replenished after the emergency.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second that.
Roll call. Let's stop good.
Diane?
Hi.
Greg?
Hi.
Joanne?
Hi.
Reed?
Hi.
Dan?
Hi.
Okay, motion carries.
Do you ever go back and watch video so you can get the exact wording?
I pretty much usually if it's something like that, I'll read it back. So
Yeah,
the
go ahead.
1 gallon.
I guess you have two bullet points, right?
Yeah, basically I said 10 cases and then 10 1-gallon
Yeah.
water jug
So
or
Yeah.
bottle.
Motion that the district buys 10 cases and 10 1-gallon jugs of bottled water to be what
To
would
keep on hand.
to keep on
Yeah,
hand.
to be replenished. There we go.
Replenished
To be,
after an emergency.
yeah. I'm trying to
Okay.
remember all the.
On emergency use. And then you could even bake that into the emergency response plan if you want.
Yeah, that's
Yes, that's
right.
exactly
When
right.
you do your draft, you
Yeah.
put that right in there. Yeah,
Exactly.
I'm coming out of my basement and I'm getting
Yeah.
the water. Oh gosh.
I mean, you go to Costco, they've got 35 in a case, right?
Yeah.
Versus
Yeah.
whatever. Just get,
Yeah.
I don't think we need to buy how many bottles in per case, right?
Right, yeah. This is only a case of 12, maybe a case of 10.
Well, the only other option that you could do is they have those 3 and 5 gallon jugs of water that they use in water
With
dispensers.
different
Yeah,
benches, but you have to have
but
a
the
different.
problem is those things are hard to handle.
Yeah,
They are, and
and you
they're
need a
heavy, and
dispenser.
if you've got
And
a single woman,
yeah, here you go.
that's
Take
one
this
you
home
can
with
just
you.
give like a
The
just
gallon ones, yeah.
a gallon and then drop a case per house,
Right.
something like that. I mean,
You're
we can
right.
look
And you're
at,
right. And so that's why I said that on the other option was
yeah,
on that.
and that would be.
Actually, you know what we use for camping is those that we buy them. They're like
2 gallons of
big
water.
Rectangular prism.
The big rectangular thing with a handle on it.
And a little spigot.
Spigot that goes out the bottom.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice too.
Yeah, those that works really, that's convenient. They're cheap.
You put a knife hole in it so the water could, the air can go and push the water out right at the top.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to ask for it back after you.
Yeah. that's what I mean. That's how those work, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, number 7. The board will consider the purpose of a camera to see the murky water inside the meters inside the murky water. Looked like a neat thing and wasn't that expensive.
So I was curious about how many water meters are underwater, and is there mud on top of them? Is there a dirt that has settled?
So. According to Don, depending on the season, so there might be some years where he doesn't find any, but then if the window where reading meters does fall on a very rainy time, then it's like
everyone
has a whole street of, you know, because there's a lot of the district, like my area, where there's actually a reducer for the water. It's all very low. And it just, I mean, the creek out there outstanding, it gets up to people's back doorsteps, you know. And so.
And then what happens during the meter reading process when you hit something like that?
I think what he does, I think, is he just, if he can, he
swishes
it around until
he gets, has a cup he throws.
And if he can't do it, he comes
back. So if I compute like an hourly wage for doing that relative to the cost of this camera amortized over many, many seasons, I think it's a no-brainer to buy a camera.
Well, it depends how long the camera's going to last. And the other thing I was questioning is there mud on top of the meters?
There is, but if you... He knows where the meters are. Well, anybody who's reading the meters can reach a hand in the water and feel them. You should know right where it is. About these, it has a little light on the end. And the way the front of these is designed is it's almost like it's flat. So it has a light that's flat. And so if you put it in there and you know where to look, you know, say you have the screen in one hand and you have the camera in the other hand, you can put it directly against the glass. And it'll shine through the glass and show you what's behind the glass.
Okay, so.
And he'll have already stuck his hand to clear the glass, and then he uses this.
And hopefully the med will stay away.
Yeah, you'll basically. Yeah, and they're also, these are, what's the rating on these? Is the IP67 waterproof, so, and you can't drop it in the ocean and expect it to live forever, but it's good for up to 15, 20 minutes of submersible. Something like that.
He's gonna take it 20.
It'll be maybe 30 seconds, so it should.
So this is a battery operated.
Yeah, the guy that I saw, the Eric or whatever his name was, he just walked up to. I watched him, you know, the neighbors, and it was full of water. He just walked up to it, reached down there, flipped the because they got covers over the glass, flipped it back, stuck that thing down in there. Took the meter reading, pulled it out, flipped the cover back over, and off he went.
Okay, so what on the budget, what does this come out of?
It would come out of
my office. It could be my office supplies, but let's see what's her.
No, not office supplies.
No, I would
say it would not be
the kind of categories, what they are.
There's if you pull up that deal, I think there's one called equipment.
Here, I got the. I don't have it on here, but
okay.
There we go. Water, not water testing. Sure, the bathrooms.
Can this be somewhere in the same category as
water?
Our computers for the SCADA system and all that.
There's water meters and boxes, that category. I think it might relate to that.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And so that's what is that under a heading?
Yeah, it's its own heading. Water meters and boxes. It's an account. We have an account called water meters and boxes. And right now the account is got a 3,600 positive ballots on.
And this is how much? 100 and,
yeah,
$18.
Yeah.
Is what that on Amazon?
It is.
Yes.
Did you ever have?
I did. So I did the calculations. If we talk about this for 14 minutes,
yeah,
it's going to cost more money than that item right there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, 100, 100, 100, 100.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
To you me, like, I thought we, yeah, I thought we had, like, not a process, I can't think of the word right now, but, like, Don can purchase things.
Yeah, he can.
Under
discretionary.
Thank you, discretionary
yeah.
funds and stuff.
Underneath a certain
isn't
level.
That, yeah, isn't that below it?
We actually wrote a policy on that, agreed to it not that long ago, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
I was trying to figure out why it was even on the agenda. Personally, yes.
Well, Don has always been like that. When it's something not of the norm, he likes to bring it to the board, even if it would probably fit under his purview to do so. That's just sure. always been the way Don is. So, for what it's worth, I'm ready to make a motion.
Yeah,
to
say, you have a motion. Go ahead.
I make a motion to allow for the purchase of this camera.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Diane?
Aye.
Greg?
Aye.
Joanne?
Aye.
Reed?
Aye.
Dan?
Aye.
Okay.
All right.
I was just curious about how it...
Yeah. Sure. The board will discuss borrowing of...
That camera looks a little different. He had one. It was like, it was about 3 feet tall, and it was just a straight rod with the camera on the top of it.
It's the camera on the stick or something?
Yeah, I'm saying when you say curled up on the right,
it's a
cable.
It's a cable.
And a lot of these are actually made for sewers, and a lot of these are long, as you probably know.
Very, I do know.
And you reuse that camera?
So I found the shortest possible one I could, 3.3 feet.
Okay.
So yep. This discussion, this is the one Don asked me to put
number
in,
nine, yes.
And all that he wants is your blessing, basically, to do
yeah.
this. And yeah, he wanted to make a point that the interest that we gained from the county would offset hiring an accountant versus going back to Kathy. So it would work out, and I'm sure he can provide those figures next month. But he wanted to just.
So the accountant would be the buffer between the impedance mismatch of the county's difficulties and normal regulatory.
Right.
Is there training that needs to be done?
We haven't really, he didn't really discuss that. He just, he wants the board's blessing to start the process of turning it over to somebody. That's kind of what all he wanted.
So he doesn't want to do it anymore.
No, it's all done. Yeah, he said,
and that would also be gathering the reports in addition to the full pay, all the any kind of interface for the county, input or output.
Right. That's the thing. When they asked Don what his biggest stressor is, that's the first thing he said.
That's what he
was
said.
Working with Foster County. So that's he just wants to have an in between him and Foster County, somebody he can interface with.
Discussion.
I would just say for the next board meeting we need to discuss a bookkeeper and get rid of the county.
I'm not in favor of getting rid of the county, but I am in favor of perhaps putting out in the newsletter to see if there's even somebody in the district that is a bookkeeper that would take over Don's workload in terms of, you know, keeping the invoices straight, so to speak. Because at the end of the day, I don't know that we need a full-blown accountant or CPA as the interim. We need a bookkeeper. And that's really what Don's been, you know, taking on is bookkeeping in between audits. So that would be my recommendation is to just
Shane made us he suggested we contact his person, who who is in that category. And she's, he says she's very good. So that's one candidate right there.
Right. And I know we have, like, my neighbor down here, I think she's retiring or whatever, but she's a bookkeeper there. I'm sure we've got several.
I was just going to put it on the agenda for next month to discuss it.
My thought on this is that we could put it on the agenda, but we try this recipe here with this interim person and see how it goes. And if it seems to be going smoothly and everything's working okay, it ain't broke, right? But if it is broke and it remains broke, then we go to stronger measures like what's being suggested.
Okay. But see, we were going to give this 3 months. And if Don is still stressed out about it, 3 months, then we were supposed to get a bookkeeper and because we're still not getting the reports that we've got with the bookkeeper. We're still not getting those. And so we said we would give it 3 months, and the 3 months are up. And he still is having the same problems.
Can someone, what's the difference between a bookkeeper versus a full-blown accountant that I heard? I'm
maybe
just asking.
Licensing and training and what they money. Charge.
How much?
The biggest thing is money.
Got it. So, but I mean, is like, I mean, I Don puts in the amounts into an Excel spreadsheet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what
the biggest
he's looking for? Or
so
I'm trying to understand
what it is.
Exactly.
Is like a scenario like this. He described it to me. There was something having to do with a loan payment on the tanks, there was some procedural thing that went awry with the county. And then the county alerted him, and he was in the middle of class, and he got bugged by this person, and you know, stuff like that. Just interfacing with the county to meet their sort of rules.
Got it. So basically,
yeah.
A meeting, just for example, say like it's QuickBooks, you know, doing like if we were using QuickBooks, you just need to know how to put whatever the information is in that system, right? In the county system to meet there.
It's more complicated.
County has layers and layers and stuff.
And they have like five people doing the same job.
Or you have five people all doing one individual job, and you talk to person number one and say, hey, I have a question. Oh, go to person number three. Oh, you push them up that. Go to person number two. Oh, hang on. I can do this. But for this, you got to go to person number four.
Yeah.
And then person number five is watching over the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
and comes to you and says, well, there's a problem with how you ask this question. You know, it's just, it's an army of
so
confusion.
We would be looking at someone trying interface with the county process to meet their requirements with their accounting program or whatever like that. Would that same person then just be doing the Excel spreadsheet as well too, or is that a different thing?
From what I understand from what Don told me when I spoke to him today, he's fine doing what he always has done before we were with the county, the budget and the, you know, all of the stuff he used to do. Because what he used to do is he would pay the bills,
mm-hmm.
you know, easy,
mm-hmm.
and he would take his receipts to Kathy,
mm-hmm.
and that was it. It was done. And now with the county, all of that stuff that the bookkeeper used to do, he's now doing, but he's having to navigate the Custer County quagmire while he's doing it. And so he's okay doing the stuff he used to do, but all of the new stuff that came, that was dropped on his lap going to the county, that's the stuff he just is.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's what we would need someone to help us with.
And he's been doing it now for how many years? Three years? And it's difficult. I've talked to him several times, and it's very, very difficult to. And I had to get my 1099 redone because they put my, for some reason.
Yeah, I got two of them. An old one and
an updated one, because they put our money in the general fund. They took, and they said you only made $700.
Yeah,
and I'm going,
$700.
Yes.
Yeah. It's almost, we could almost have an office in Placer County how much work he puts into this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's horrible. It is horrible.
Well, let's throw this out there, guys.
What if we're having so much trouble with this? Why don't we keep him?
Because we wanted to give three more months to see if they could fix things and get things worked out and get us our reports that we used to get.
Right, I know, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, because we've been talking about those
reports we haven't gotten. Yeah.
And it hasn't happened. So we decided we were going to go with the bookkeeper. He had three bids from bookkeepers. And then we said, give it three more months. And then we were supposed to give it the 3 months. And if he's still having problems, then we were supposed to hire a bookkeeper.
And one thing on the upside of the county thing that Don mentioned to me is, and this goes to the point of how we would defray the cost of paying someone to do this, is that the sum of money that we have on deposit bears a lot of interest in this county situation, more than you can get at any bank. And so we are earning well by doing it this way. So that's one on the plus column. I just wanted to mention that. And then, I don't, Diane, do you have other things to say about the county?
I do, and it's the long-term perpetuity. God forbid, you know, but we're all going to go, but the county's still going to remain. And I'm not quite sure where it dropped off a cliff, and maybe you can help me with it, Scott, that between Andy Sisk and Don. And then my second question to you, Scott, is this something that you would be interested in picking up more hours to do and take on a treasurer role? Because that actually is an assignment the board has the purview to do.
For the second question, never. I would never, ever want to do it for any amount of money. You have to pay me a lot more money.
Okay.
But the stress.
I would never, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But for the first question, I think he was working with Sisk and I think Andy Sisk would, he'd come in to basically direct his guys the way to do what Don needs them to do. And then over time, they kind of just
reverted.
They revert it a little bit, where they'll make a little progress, and then Andy kind of, okay, everything's good. And then they're like, all right, this is as far as I have to go because the boss isn't over my shoulder anymore. I think that's kind of what happened because he's back, was it Joe Liar? He's the one that Don works with mostly, and he's back to having issues with him.
So if we hire someone to do this, take this over, is it going to be the same problem with them?
But yeah, it's their problem.
No, I mean, is the person that we hire to take over this job for Don, are they going to get as frustrated and stressed as Don?
Yes, they might. Yes. They might if they are, like I was just telling Reed, like it's almost a full time job in itself working with the county. And if this person, if we hire somebody who has worked with them before or knows them
and has a temperament for that kind
or uses Workday regularly, you know, Workday is pretty much where everything happens. If they are familiar with Workday,
that goes on the job description.
They might know exactly what to do. And then, oh yeah, easy. Da, 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 da. I've been doing this for 10 years. You know, it maybe, but you know, Don being a full time school teacher and then having, you know, a part-time job and then having another part-time job added to that part-time job because of the county. Yeah. It's kind of just a lot for one man, you know. So I think that it depends on the person, really.
Ask Shane about his bookkeeper and see if they are familiar with that program.
Okay. So the other thing is how much extra is this going to cost?
Yeah.
And then we would still stay with the county and have their fees on top of this new person's fees, right?
That's, and that seems like, if to be honest with you, it seems like you're going backwards.
So just to touch on that, Don had, I was talking with him this morning, and he said the same thing.
Yeah, about the interest.
Yeah, the county provides so much more interest than a bank would. And because of our volume, the interest.
The principal we have on deposit is so large.
It's so, yeah, it would pay for whoever this person is. It would probably pay for them completely and then some. But that's probably something that
we need to look into.
So, yeah, maybe.
To find out how much. First, we need to find someone who is familiar with their system.
Or willing to learn it.
Or, yeah, it's really hard to learn.
Really
Don is very smart, and it's been difficult for him.
If you want it to be as smooth a transition as possible, they need to already know how to do everything.
Yeah.
That's exactly. Otherwise, we're spinning our
wheels. Then you have Don worrying about
that person, whether they're doing their job
exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
May I suggest that we put this on or put it up for discussion or what have you to put on our newsletter? And actually, even though we may have an interim with Shane's bookkeeper, that's a possible, but we put out for that job description and being, you know, had maybe previously worked for the county, might be a good one for a retired person, even that was a retired bookkeeper and wants out of the county. It's hard to say. Sometimes you want to pick up extra work on the side. So we might be able to put that in our newsletter and generate, because I already know, like I said, I already know a couple bookkeepers. Don't know if they'll take the job, but I'm sure we got more than a couple in the valley, in Christian Valley.
So we do put out. What is it? One of those called?
Well, like you're doing for the meter reader.
Same. Yeah. And so it has to go out to public. We'll see how many.
We can post it on the website first because our newsletter is not for another couple months. So.
Yeah, I was going to say that it's a little bit more timely.
But we could put it on the front page of the.
I would.
Be honest with you, I think whatever process we use to get the meter readers is probably what we should do because we want to do this quickly rather than wait.
Exactly.
Yeah, because people don't read the newsletter. I'm telling you, it just goes in the garbage.
Yeah.
Or they sit it, they have it sitting.
They scan it and they just read it. And then, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
That's my suggestion, whatever process we use.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do we need a motion on this? Or?
You're just asking.
Which is a direction to staff.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it at this point. Okay. Looks like we're standing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Items. Okay, some of this I've been real-time editing. So the action stays the same for the speed survey thing. We're still going to need
to
the era for...
Yeah, because we need to contact the sheriff's office.
And tank realignment, discuss easement formalization strategies in March.
So right now, we're going to plan council. So.
Yeah, which
okay.
Including, yeah, that including.
Scott, try to remember, ask Don. I'm sure he remembers if it was Scott Brown that the district used.
I'll ask him right now. What's the name again? Sorry.
Scott.
Brown.
But that's the name that I remember.
Diane, you have a good memory. That is, I believe that's the correct person. But
I remember the last name Brown.
Yeah.
He was the attorney for quite a few years.
Jerry would definitely have that in his records.
Oh, absolutely.
And on the William Court mainline threat assessment, it's Jerry who's going to look at that.
Yes,
that's the next thing.
Yeah. Nice.
Emergency protocol, yeah, staff to redraft plan that fits the size of our community. This one we talked about last time, the 10-inch distribution replacement thing. That's a big thing, and we just did backburn of it because it's expensive.
It's heck of expensive. So I would put that off for
at a very low priority. I'll resort
we'll file it for reference.
Yeah. And the FAP grant that's
CW right now.
So Scott, you submitted it, it's but in, being reviewed.
Yes, currently. I submitted it the day before it was due this time.
Yeah.
So that was pretty good.
No last minute.
Yeah, it's a terribly last minute, but it was, you know.
I texted Don to remind him, and he said it was going in that day. And I said, time's a flying.
And now here's our parcels again.
It can be taken off.
It's a done issue. There's
well, I
more
don't.
To talk about.
Yeah, I don't think there's much more to talk about.
Okay. Oh.
I think we discussed last time that they weren't really merchantable.
Well, we did.
Build on.
Well, the only people that probably would like them is the
people that have one a buffer.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we can't just offer it to, we have to give it to the public at large because it's public property.
We're just going to keep them because we don't pay taxes on them. So just keep them.
Yeah, it works for right now.
Instead of going through all the rigmarole.
And the FAST grant, CPA applied appropriate. That's the list.
Ongoing. But we did the grant. There was I'm sorry, Diane, the grant that you had forwarded, Don, what was that? That was for the, that's not an EPA grant. Yeah.
The webinar that I forwarded is, I think, oh gosh, March, middle of March, but it's for this funding. It's a brand new funding cycle for cyber security.
Okay.
So there's a funding opportunity to boot, you know, to bolster cyber security for the water plant.
Okay, so that's just a different brand, but
and the condition reassessment, that's a waiting output for grants. We talked about that a lot before. And PCWA, I don't know. How about website? Any website suggestions or anything?
I sent Don.
I've been working on the wish list. The only I did get the we can bring up.
We got Reed's picture.
Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're working on it.
Yeah. The minutes have their own page now with like drop down menus and things. And I haven't got to the agenda. I did the recordings, you know, they were so old. I took off the old recordings. And right now, all it is just a download to the most recent recording.
Right.
I did want to bring up the one thing about recordings. That recordings that you're not even required to have a post on your website if you don't want to. The Brown Act doesn't stipulate it. They can be deleted after 30 days according to the Brown Act. But the reason why you would want on there is for the transparency but there's a laundry list of different transparency options, and as long as you fulfill three, then you're within the good graces.
So do you think if we kept a year's worth?
It would be overkill, but you know.
Like we can take, as we go through this year, take one off, but then we add on. Yeah,
12-month window.
In other words, you have a living,
it's
a
yeah,
living it's a rolling 12-month.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. But I just want to make the point that it's you don't have to do it, or you can kind of do whatever you want. Like Placer County has them on, you know, indefinitely, you know, when they're not required to, but they just
they want them for transparency.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
So it's really up to you. Stipulation.
I was thinking rolling 12 months. Yeah.
Okay, so that's and the COVID references are gone.
Most of them, I hope. I found most of the ones. And but you know,
like COVID, it keeps sneaking back.
Yeah, Diane's probably no fun. You know, when you go through the web pages and there's web pages, and that's it in web pages, and you'll you know, oh.
As you see them, is there? Can you do a giant search on all the source and see if it's in there?
And I've right now been mostly deleting them as I find them, doing other things.
Yeah.
And later I'll go through and I'll like really hunt them down.
So anything I find, I can send to you.
Yeah, you can just send.
Send to you because you're taking care of the website. Because I can go through things and then I will click on something else and then I got to remember to write everything down.
Right. So, I'm trying to make it so that pretty much everything is accessible just from the top, and then you have the drop downs, and you should be able to just access anything you want to right from there, because the requirements that we of what we put on the site really aren't that extensive. We really don't need a whole lot of stuff on there. And it all can be easily accessed just from those menus, you know.
Yeah, it's the drop down.
Yes.
And sometimes it's very redundant with what's in front of us and on the side. That's why I've been working on that too, because if we have it in front of us, we don't leave it off onto the side.
Right. And if there's a page that doesn't have something on the side, and you think, you know what I think might go on the side? You can say, put that over there. Like, here's the webpage for the agendas, for example. We have a link to the minutes right there too.
Yes.
I
think they do. I think it's done that way.
That way they can correspond.
Yeah.
Just it
makes more sense. No.
But it's still always accessible from the
top bar. Well, you know how it is when you get in there and you start clicking and it sends you here and it sends you there.
Then you forgot where you started.
And then you find the secret meeting that was in there from 2017.
And then you go.
Okay,
where are we at?
We agenda items for March. We just discussed some of them. Other ones we should talk about.
Go ahead.
You please.
We need to review our bylaws, and we need to take a lot of stuff out of there that has expired.
Okay, so that'll be.
That was supposed to be on this agenda, but Don forgot.
Suspect that you have that bylaws.
Bylaws. Add that on to the
March
agenda. Any particular bylaws or just all of them? Or you want this?
No, we need to review them. I know there's things in there that need to come out because of the new Brown Act, the SB 7, whatever it is. And I was just thinking we could just have a link to it.
That would be good. So we don't have to every year, we don't have to, nice to point to that.
And every time it gets updated, we just get the other one off the California. Any changes.
Excuse me.
So we don't need to have it all written in our bylaws. That's what I was thinking.
That would be really good.
To just simplify everything.
Yeah. Simplify. Yeah.
And use the benefit of references to copy.
Like we do, we have links to all of our policies. We have links to anything legal. We just can have a link to the Brown Act, the new Brown Act, or whatever.
That's a great idea.
If you ever wrote any code, pointers are always very efficient versus copying everything. Anything else for the March
I want to talk minimum salary.
Okay. So, okay, I'll go ahead and add that. And anything else?
Did we have the book potential bookkeeper?
I think that you got the bookkeepers.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you've got the easement discussion that's going to be.
Yeah, I think so. I think that the easement.
Right, not there, but closed.
Yeah.
With an attorney. But I think, I hate to say this, but if you come up with different attorneys at different fees, we need to talk about it. We just can't have one come in next month without us knowing and the cost.
Should this be a two-phase discussion then? Maybe.
I think that's probably
so. Yeah. So not have an attorney next month and discuss getting an attorney.
Yeah, part of our discussion next month. Find out how much they are, how much they, who.
Okay, that's
what we need to know. That, yeah. We need to know who's coming to our meeting and how much they're charging us. Yeah.
And if there's any other additional things we could find out in the interim on our own outside of an attorney input. And Diane, you had some things too you were going to look into. So if you gather that up for next time, sans attorney without an attorney, then we can make progress.
It's a good chance that Scott Brown did the land use. So.
What do you say? There's a chance of what?
It's a good chance that Scott Brown did the land use for the tank site.
Yeah. I just don't remember, to be honest with you. It's been a while. So.
Okay.
All right. Do I have a motion for adjournment?
I would make a motion that we adjourn the meeting.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Hi.
Greg?
Hi.
Joanne?
Hi.
Reed?
Hi.
Dan?
Hi.
9 o'clock. Good. We're sailing through these.